It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm John Batchelor. My colleague, Terry Anderson of the Hoover Institution, is the editor of a new book, Adapt and Be Adept. This is Market Responses to Climate Change. And one of the market responses is trade. Again, we're looking at the question of not what if there's climate change. We're assuming, Pascal's wager, we're going to assume there is climate change because we'll adapt beforehand. If there's not, we haven't heard anything. We've made some adjustments, and it was probably all to the better that we were in charge. It empowered us. But I'm assuming there is climate change, and it's time to adapt. Trade is one way, and one of the pieces that Terry edits and publishes by Timothy Fitzgerald is about trade and climate policy. And there's a term of art here I'm learning. This has to do with border carbon adjustments. What is that, Terry?
Well, first off, Tim is a longtime friend, former colleague, and he spent time in the Trump administration with the Council of Economic Advisors, and I think he received a real education in whether economics or politics dominates, and you can guess which does. And the notion of these border maneuvers to try and account for climate change is that we will correct the price that we pay for goods by forcing other countries to put taxes on their products to change the price to reflect, again, the carbon they use. That's how the theory goes. But in fact, what happens is people who want trade barriers use this disguise, or they put the wolf in sheep's clothing in this being climate change, and they disguise then the real goal of many of these policies, which is to impose tariffs or obtain subsidies that are beneficial to the people who want those subsidies and tariffs, and they're the ones in Washington. Again, they're at the table.
So what we're looking at here is is this a disguised form of protectionism? Is that what this is? How I should read this?
Totally. It is. That is exactly what it is. And so you can disguise it quite nicely because you say, oh, it's climate change and we have to worry about this. And, oh, by the way, underneath here is protection for my industry. Pure and simple, it is just that. It is protectionism. Another way to think about it is a theory in economics called the bootleggers and Baptist theory. And the theory goes this way. Why do we have liquor laws in the South that prevent the sale of liquor on Sundays? And the answer is, well, Baptists don't want you imbibing on the Sabbath. Of course, the bootleggers are happy to have the limits because they then get to sell their booze on Sunday through illegal markets. The same is true of climate change. The Baptists are the environmentalists who say, oh, we have to equalize the price of these goods at borders to reflect carbon that's being produced elsewhere. And the bootleggers are the people who say, we agree with you. We do need tariffs, but we want them on this product or that product. And again, it becomes just what you said, protectionism.
So this is emissions trading system, regional greenhouse gas initiative, carbon club. Those are all clever ways of presenting the same story. This is going to be top down, incentivized with taxes or tariffs or in some fashion a protectionism. That's what those all refer to.
Sure. Take the emission trading system that everybody thought would be the global solution started in Europe. And the idea was you would allow some emissions, you would give credits to people to trade these emissions, and they would find more efficient ways to produce electricity with or energy generally with less carbon. But very quickly, people who started to produce wind energy said, well, we didn't get any credits, and we're really the saviors of the world, so give us some credits. And it's just like pouring new money into the economy. It destroyed that market that was beginning to grow as we increased the number of credits out there, and the price declined, and then the incentive to innovate went away.
All right, we've eliminated that we're all in heaven with Mark Twain. We've said that incentivizing isn't going to work because you'll probably wind up being on the menu and not at the table. So what is the payoff? We come to improving price discovery to accelerate adaptation to climate change. In other words, the marketplace. This is an article that Terry edits in the new book, Gregory Charaklis, Benjamin Foster, and Matthew Kahn. The price discovery is a term of art that economists use very well. What does it mean when in terms of climate change? Who's in charge of discovering the price, and what does it mean once we find it, Terry?
Well, no one is in charge of, if by that we mean that some agency in Washington will determine those prices. But price determination in the marketplace and in the chapter discussed here, price determination comes from financial markets and risk markets, where people are continually trying to find changes in risk that are changing the actual values and therefore the prices. So people look out and say, wow, there's a growing risk of storm surge on the Miami coast. How would this be reflected? And what they find is that, gee, maybe we should sell some of our real estate along the coast and buy some along the higher levels. And so what happens then? The price of the coastal lands goes down and the price of the higher lands goes up. And that's just exactly what the data show. So this is a form of price discovery that the normal consumer doesn't think about. But it's what drives the decimal points that make people rich on Wall Street.
Right. Well, we're looking at, and I read carefully here, putting property rights together with risk allocation. And I think that we already do this. I think we already have a model. Isn't that what flood insurance is about? Isn't that what fire insurance is about? Taking risk and putting it together with private property and finding a price.
As long as the insurance prices, again, reflect what we know about those risks. I just read another article pointing out that we subsidize flood insurance. Well, if you subsidize flood insurance and you're worried about flooding being greater because of global warming, guess what you get? More building than you'd want in areas that are flood prone. The chapter in the book that I just love is a chapter by Ron Bailey on fire insurance in California. The California Insurance Commission will not allow insurance companies to drop or change the rates of people based on those properties being in wildfire zones. Well, if you don't do that, then people have no incentive to really move out of the path of wildfires. And there again, you're giving the wrong price information. And when we have the wrong prices, people respond in ways that aren't consistent with adaptation to climate change.
There's a subplot here, Terry, that when governments, local or national, get involved, you cannot discover the price, and trouble's going to come down the road. Now, what I learned from this chapter on price discovery is that we need more and better information about climate change. More and better information. That discourages these long-term projections, I believe, the statistical projections. That encourages people to react to what they actually see in front of them. Is that correct? Or are statistics useful in finding risk?
Well, it depends on how good the models are that make the predictions. But let me first back up to the actual statistics. As the authors point out, there's an extremely important role for government to play in gathering the data, one on rainfall, on temperature, on humidity, all the kinds of variables that we'd want to take into account if we were going to sense climate change. And the government production of those kind of or collection of those kind of data and dissemination of those kinds of data, making those data transparent, is a crucial part of price discovery. Then the people who are determining insurance prices that we just talked about or are creating new financial instruments to account for risk have information that they can use to adjust. Then there's the question of what predictions should we make? And we economists have a term, we say, garbage in, garbage out. And if you have bad models for making these predictions, which is what the climate change models were in the early days, they've gotten better, but they're still not very good. I've been dealing with some flood issues here in Montana, and the ability of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Administration, to really accurately predict flooding is horrible because they have garbage in and they get garbage out from those models. So predictions depend on good models, and financial markets that are successful require good models. And there, I think the financial people are better able to take the data that the government should and is collecting and put it into models that they use to make their predictions.
Right now, Terry, is there such a thing as a credit market, Moody's and Standard & Poor's mentioned in your book, that can price drought, price floods, price fires? Can they do that if the state doesn't get involved? Can they give a good price that people trust?
Oh, I think absolutely. But if you then said, well, what's the evidence? It's hard to find because so many of these markets are distorted by government insurance programs. So take the crop insurance program in agriculture, a program that subsidizes people to make bad decisions, essentially. Go ahead and plant your crop out there. And, oh, you didn't take account of the fact that temperatures were going to be too high due to climate change. Well, we will now give you an insurance policy that's subsidized and pay you because your crop failed. If we do that over and over, then there is no way that markets are going to respond in any effective way if we mean really adapting to climate change. And so it's hard to find markets that don't have this sort of distortion built into them due to, again, politics.
The book is Adapt and Be Adept. Terry Anderson is the editor. Market Responses to Climate Change. When we come back, we're going to discuss not just discovering the right price, but also, is it okay to, in some fashion, defend yourself? Does that adapt to the future correctly? I'm thinking of a seawall. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at cvs.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.